the silicone products that we do. We do a lot of silicone covers for insulin vials to help protect them from breaking. In the beginning, in the marketplace, there was just the solid black bag, and we wanted to offer, you know, things that made people feel like it wasn't a medical bag. Like, we wanted to build that confidence, like, hey, you need to take this with you every day to school, or you need to take this to the office and not feel embarrassed to pull it out on your desk.
Welcome back to the Healthy Diabetic Podcast. As always, before we get started, please remember that nothing that you hear on this podcast should be considered medical advice or otherwise. Please always consult your medical team before making any changes to your diabetes management. Okay, before we jump into today's guest, I want to leave you with a couple things. First, if you enjoy this episode, if you've enjoyed previous episodes that you've listened to, I encourage you to spread the word, share the show with someone that you know is going to get a lot of value out of it. If you were someone that was just diagnosed with diabetes, or maybe you've had diabetes for a while, maybe you're type 1, maybe you have diabetes LADA, maybe you're pre-diabetic, maybe you're type 2 diabetic, maybe you're a caregiver, whatever your situation, I am here to give you additional support and guidance on your journey. I encourage you to check out my coaching programs, More Than A1C, my signature program. It's an all-encompassing strategic diabetes program. I call it More Than A1C because diabetes is more than just your numbers. You can check out all my programs, my courses, all my resources in the show notes. All right, let's get into today's guest. I got to sit down with Caroline. She was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at the age of 13. And she's the founder of Sugar Medical. If you guys don't know what Sugar Medical is, it is a diabetes accessory company. And oh my gosh, do they have so many great accessories, so many great bags. It's awesome. So early on, she recognized the need for more attractive colors, more attractive bags than the standard medical bags that we get with our glucose meters and the standard colors of white and black that we pretty much get with all of our devices. Then in 2009, Caroline started designing cases from her basement with her two sons. After a year, she launched Sugar Medical and introduced the first supply case in 5 different colors. Today, Sugar Medical is one of the largest diabetic accessory companies in the country and is proudly still woman-owned. Nice job, ladies. They specialize in supply cases, purses, backpacks, travel bags, and accessories available worldwide. They've created over 100 fashionable designs and will continue to design new and exciting products that are durable and practical for daily life with diabetes. I'm so excited to share this conversation with you. So without further ado, let's get with Caroline with Sugar Medical. How long have you been doing, like, in your business and practicing and everything?
We started in 2009, so it's been a long time.
That has been a long time. That's awesome. Yeah. What made you start that?
So at the time, my sister and I are both type 1 diabetics, and there was just like nothing in the market to carry all of my supplies in. So I was taking camera bags and like jimmy rigging them with Velcro and like allowing me to have everything in one spot. And after I had my first son, I decided to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom. And that lasted all of about 6 months. And then I was losing my mind. So I started this company to kind of create some bags in the marketplace that had some personality and a little bit more accessible beyond just the little glucose meter cases that were, you know, everyone gets for free.
Yeah. And it's like when I was looking through your guys' Instagram account, I was like, this is awesome. Because I've seen, you know, we've seen a lot of different types of things like this, of like being able to hold your insulin, you know, your insulin or your diabetes supplies. But like, it seems like there's just so much more versatility to your guys' products than I've seen before.
Well, I mean, I know when I was diagnosed, they just had like the glucose meter bag, but you had to carry syringes and there was no room for an insulin vial and there was no room for a snack and things like that. So it was something just kind of out of need. And my background was as a, like I worked for a division of Macy's as a buyer and like had some experience in buying and said, you know, I'm going to try to do this myself. So, we started making, we launched with 5 bags and, have grown considerably since the original plan, you know, the plan was much smaller. So yeah, it's been going great for us.
That's crazy. How many different types of designs do you guys have? Do you have different types of designs?
Yeah, so we offer right now a really deep selection of cases and bags from like little mini bags down to like a huge XL travel backpack that can get like your pump supplies for 2 weeks in. So so we have lots of variations, and then you know some are insulated, some are not insulated. You know, some are more for going out on the town, and others are more like let's go on a hike. So yeah, we try to cover all different like needs and requests from what we get from our customers are really what helps drive new products for us.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Have you guys start? Have you guys I guess my first question: do you have? But have if not, have you guys started thinking about how to do like insulin, like cooling insulin, or keeping it nice and cool, or different insulations in the bags?
Yeah. So we work with a company called Frio that does some great pouches for that just activate with water. We work with another company called ViviCap for the insulin pins that keep everything at like a good safe temperature for insulin. And then our variety of our larger bags and such are insulated. So you can purchase like an ice pack to go in there for travel, and, you know, keeping it insulin, that safe range is always top of mind, especially in people, you know, areas of the country where you have hurricanes and, you know, tornadoes and things like that. You want to be prepared that you can, you know, go a few days in the heat of summer.
Yeah. One of the things I love about these bags too, is as I was like looking through everything, is it really isn't just like, here's a spot for your vial, here's a spot for your insulin pen. Like you really do have a lot of diverse types of bags that allows you to carry so many different things.
Yeah.
Like I'm even looking at some of them right now, and like there's one of your bags that has like little compartments for Dexcom stuff, for Omnipod stuff, for which I think is super unique.
Yeah, we have been licensing partners with Omnipod since 2013, and then we've been partners with Tandem since 2018. So we do like bags with their logos. We co-brand. So we really take a look at what Omnipod customer is going to be using and carrying, which is very different from, you know, a person using Tandem or Medtronic or a pen user. So things are bulky, they're different shapes. So we work in design, you know, where everything's going to go. And then we have to make sure that everything fits in the bag and actually folds shut and zips. So, you know, Dexcom is a tricky one to get in the bag.
Even
the G7 being smaller, it's still, you know, an awkward shape. So, you know, we try to make considerations for all that.
Yeah, that's crazy. So I'm just, my wheels are spinning about this, because I think I just feel like this is so fascinating on the market research side, on like the advocacy side, on the reaching out and seeing what customers want side. Like, when you guys have an idea, this is just like my personal like craziness that I like to think about this stuff. Like, when you guys have an idea, how long does it typically take for you to get that idea, ask customers, go through your whole entire process and get it like created into the factories or wherever you're doing that to get it out to the customer?
Longer than you think. So actually, it's funny. Had a call this morning. So our 2024 like objectives of all the new products we're planning and when they're arriving. We were just talking that today, that if, you know, if we put this new idea into place, like the earliest we'd probably see it would be February of next year. I mean, it's a long.
Holy moly.
Yeah. By the time you go sampling, make edits. So for us, we have a lot of specific size loops to carry specific things. So there is no like margin for error on those. So we do go through usually several rounds of testing. And then we put that when the sample's complete, then it goes through product testing itself to make sure, you know, everyday use and wear and tear is going to be, you know, work for the bag and not have it fall apart. So we do have, you know, weeks of testing out in the marketplace and seeing, you know, getting feedback before we actually roll this production.
That's crazy, man. I figured it was like a long process, but I didn't realize it was like that long. I mean, that's almost a year process to like idea to market.
I know you have to be like really thinking ahead as to what you want and when you want it to deliver. Shipping has been really crazy. So COVID just, you know, really threw a wrench into everything for us. So things were starting to get back to normal. But now like the shipments we're bringing in from overseas are going through the Panama Canal. And apparently there's a drought, so the ships can't get through. So, I mean, freight is backlogging like 3 and 4 weeks. So, I mean, there's always something, you know, unique going on. So things that we have hoped, you know, to come in January, a lot of it got pushed to now coming in the middle of March. So that's, you know, a bummer, but it is what it is. We can't control the freight.
You can't control the freight stuff, man. As long as much as we want to. Gosh, it's so crazy.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Is there like any like licensing or like restrictions or things that you have to go through a specific, I guess the word would be licensing to with the bags, make sure they're compliant?
So from a compliancy, like we do follow certain regulations from the US and especially California has like Prop 65 and things like that we have to follow. But overall with, you know, there's just the design process. And then if we're working as an Omnipod bag, we really work in touch, say, with the Omnipod team to get kind of approval and design ideas. And we groups with that as well to kind of help drive the direction of the products that we offer. The silicone products that we do a lot of silicone covers for insulin vials to help protect them from breaking. And we do the cell phone cases for your insulin pump or the controller for the Omnipod 5. Those are fun because those are quick products that we can turn around quickly, get new colors into the factory and shipped back out. So those we're always trying to update to kind of give excitement and some new stuff on the website.
Man, this is awesome. I feel like this, like companies like yours are things that are so unique and interesting. And because coming even from the coaching perspective and the part of the industry that I'm in, it's like you don't really realize as the consumer of a product, of a service, whatever it is, how long it takes for an idea to get to the market. And like what you're saying with all the testing and like approval and like, okay, well, this didn't work, right? This didn't, oh, shoot, now we got to like scrap that and go back to this. Like that's... It's crazy as the from our perspective, from the entrepreneur and the visionary's perspective, and looking at from the consumer's perspective.
Well, I think too for us, it's trial and error. I mean, when we launched, in the beginning, in the marketplace, there was just the solid black bag, and we wanted to offer, you know, things that made people feel like it wasn't a medical bag. Like we wanted to build that confidence, like, hey, you need to take this with you every day to school, or you need to take this to the office and not feel embarrassed to pull it out on your desk. You know, if you're at dinner, you don't want to pull out your medical kit. Like we want it to kind of blend in seamlessly with your life and not make it more of a stigma. So we started launching everything in patterns, and that's kind of where we got started. We did camouflage, we did, you know, polka dots for kids, and we did some fun, you know, florals and things like that, that kind of were on trend. And as we evolved, we added solids in, which was kind of the backwards thinking, because you think you would start with solids. But, you know, the idea really started was to make something more of a unique, like wallet kind of cosmetic bag in your purse that was specific to, you know, diabetes. So we definitely have grown and, you know, have continued to like find new opportunities that, you know, we weren't even thinking of. So we're always looking for feedback too.
Market. Yeah. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Man. What my other question with this is do you guys offer customization of the bag? Like let's say a young girl wants to have her name on the bag or wants to have I don't know, something on the bag that you guys don't typically offer. Do you guys offer customization like that?
At this time we don't. We're always looking at some ways to do that. With our order volume, it would really, you know, put a slower turn shipping out orders. And we kind of pride ourselves as we try to keep up with the Amazon of the world stuff, you know, shipping quickly. So our orders typically ship same day that we get them. We really work hard to get those all out the door and get people, you know, are usually trying to either leave for a trip or something and want it right away. So the customization thing is unfortunately not a possibility right now, but we're always open to it.
Yeah. So do you have different hubs all over the country then, or like just because if you're talking about getting a big turnaround like that, that's impressive if you only have one basic hub that you're shipping stuff from.
Well, we ship from our warehouse in Richmond, Virginia area. And then our products are also on Amazon. And we also do a big business for international. So we ship to different wholesalers all over the US. All over the world. So we do ship, everything from in-house. We don't have outsourced shipping and handling. And it's always funny because the people when you call us at customer service are actually real people that work here that answer the phone. And you know, you probably get Jessica. She's always on the phone, or Tammy. Like, the people are always a real person. You know, I think I spoke to you last week. So people are really intrigued by how we, you know, are still kind of keeping it close to the heart like that and not, you know, outsourcing everything.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's always an interesting thing when you, I mean, from the sound of it, being able to have the customers or the customer service aspect of it in line, like something like that you potentially could get at Amazon, you potentially could get at a big corporation, and having that, like, you know, having that feel from your company is like, that's really cool.
Yeah. We try to offer, like, our website definitely has more like a wider scope of our business, our products. Amazon is more of a price sensitive marketplace for us. So we may offer some bags on Amazon that don't have all the bells and whistles that you would find on our website. So the products we offer sometimes are very different, because definitely the customers who are shopping are very different, you know, what they're looking for when they're coming. A lot of time it boils down to price. So,
yeah, man, this just popped in my head. Do you guys get customers that technically aren't diabetics that just really love the customization of your bags?
Funny you said that. So we have a bag for insulin pens, and I have a friend who's going through in vitro fertilization, and she's like, this is the magic bag. She's like, it has everything I need. It has an ice pack to keep all of it cold. And I was like, oh, my mind's twirling, like, how to market towards that. But was like, so she took it into some class she was going to and showed everybody and the nurses, and they were like, this is perfect. So we definitely, you know, get people like that.
That's awesome. I just think that is one of the most coolest things about having a brand, and like, you have a specific tie to the market, both from heart, soul, and just that's what your products are, but then still being able to hit a different part of the market that you typically don't hit. That's super cool.
Yeah, we try to come up with new products, and, you know, we've dabbled in, you know, making other like categories of business, but we haven't dipped our foot in there quite yet, but definitely, you know, it's on the for us.
Man, 9 years, people. They've been business in this for 9 years. This is 15, awesome.
15 years.
15 years.
Yeah, we started.
You said 2009. Yeah, man, I can't do math in my head. Can't do math in my head, people. Man, that's awesome. That's sweet. And you guys, I'm just so happy that you guys made it through COVID. And like, when you're shipping, like, there's just so many businesses that I know that went out of business during COVID that are shipping based businesses that just like, this sucks.
Yeah. Or, I'm a planner at like in my brain. That's what I like. My brain wants to do is make sure everything is perfect. So, we were very lucky that we had our shipments like coming in quickly, and, we were prepped for that year well in advance, so we're able to airlift some stuff in, and we were great through COVID, where others, you know, were really struggling with having any inventory at all to sell. So it definitely gave us something to do on lockdown. We would rotate through the office and take our turns and things like that. But
that's great.
Yeah, like, the business has really grown for us, you know, into ways that we can like contribute back to the diabetes community, which is great. Cause, you know, in the beginning we're, you know, scraping by, and now it's to a point where we can really start helping and giving back too.
Yeah. You guys did all the hard work at the beginning, and now it's like, now you're able to, you know, take the fruits of all the hard work and continue to grow and expand and even expand on your product line.
Yes. Yes. Yes, many late nights. I was working full time at Timberland Footwear and doing this at night and trying to work two jobs at a time. And, you know, it was a struggle, but yeah, finally it paid off.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I'm so glad I got to that was the first part of this interview and this process that I got to talk about your business. Let's shift gears, because I'd love the listeners to know too, you have this incredible business oriented around organization, storage of diabetes supplies, and you're a diabetic yourself.
Yes.
Tell us that story about diagnosis, how long you've been diabetic. What were the things that really drove you to start this business? Was it because of storage? Was it because of organization and wanting that? And there wasn't, I mean, I know you mentioned it a little bit.
Yeah.
Talking about the business. But let's go into that, because I'd love the listeners to hear your story as this amazing person that has this incredible company that's helping us being able to be organized. But you also live with diabetes.
Correct. So yes, I was diagnosed at age 13. And then I said, I also have a younger sister who was diagnosed when she was 6. So, my mom had two of us, in the house managing meal plans and, you know, shots and all the like. So, wasn't much, I didn't know about diabetes when I was diagnosed. I was 5 years after my sister. So it was, for me, it was pretty easy to transition. I think I went into the hospital with a blood sugar of like 250, which I was like, I hit 250 every now and then still. So, you know, So my mom knew right away though. And, so I was, diagnosed in Atlanta, and, you know, my sister and I kind of, I held my mom, who got us through all those, you know, tough teenage years, keeping us on track and eating right and things like that. And, I was really after college, like through college, I was pretty good about keeping up with everything. It was definitely a transition, not having mom checking on you all the time, but, you know, bringing a syringe with me. I don't even know if that's like, you can bring a syringe into bars anymore, but, we did do that, a syringe, insulin, you know, some candy, and always had that on me, at all times. But, after I was turning around 30, we had a family friend who's also type 1, and they ended up having to have a pancreas transplant. And It was like completely eye-opening for me, because I'm like, wait a minute, like, I know that they've been doing the same thing we're doing. We're testing our blood. We're watching what we're eating. Like, why did what didn't work? Like, what happened? So that really completely freaked me out and changed every single thing in my brain, I think. My husband's like, he goes, I can pinpoint the day almost to the day you found out about that, because you became so hypersensitive about your blood sugars and you didn't want to be high, and you tested more, and you would overdose sometimes to get out of a high, eat more jelly beans just so I would never be high. So I started, you know, getting a lot more diligent about my blood sugars and trying to keep that straight and narrow. But it was, you know, it's not easy to do, because there's always, you know, a mess up where you forget to take insulin before a meal, or gosh, I'm still, you know, forgetting to do that. But that really, I think that incident with our family friend going through that and just watching the whole process and having to, she had gastroparesis really bad. So she was having issues with digesting food. And then you had to wait on a pancreas transplant list. So it was just really a scary time. And then, I just vowed there. I was like, I don't want anybody to ever have to go through what this person went through. Like, I don't ever want anybody to have to go through all that pain and, you know, how scary the whole situation was. So that's when I was like, you know, I can't cure diabetes, but let me see what I can do to make people take care of themselves better and feel more confident. So, coming from a fashion background, of course, my answer was a bag. Let's make it pretty. Let's make it functional. So that's kind of how the real reason we started was just that one like turning point. And at the time of my life, it was just like perfect timing that, I decided, you know, to stay home with my first son, and, I had time to like really dive into doing it. So, it really, you know, worked out, and we were able to get stuff into the marketplace, you know, about a year and a half after we started the whole process of getting the company up and going.
How many people did you have when you first started? Was it just you and your husband?
Pretty much me. My husband was working full time, and then my husband got laid off, and my factories I was working with had booted me, and I didn't have a factory. We were running. I was like, okay, I'm going to close Sugar Medical. And my husband's like, you got to keep it going. So he's been my cheerleader the whole time, as I'm sometimes
there you go.
Her out. But
There you go. We always need those individuals in the back of our head. That's like when we're trying to say, man, is this the right decision to keep going with this? And then they just chirp at us. It is, you just hear that chirping at us.
So it's funny because running a business is very different than working for somebody else. You're responsible for everything, apparently. And it's a lot more stress. Somebody else, you could just leave at 5 o'clock and not worry about anything. So that's been a change. But, you know, the flexibility it's given me with my family, and my husband travels a lot. So having that flexibility to pick up the kids from school when they were young and was, you know, super helpful. But yeah, the company kind of grew from that whole, you know, scenario. And now, you know, with being type one, you know, you know how important it is to keep your blood sugars in line and trying your best every day not to beat yourself up if you have a bad day or, you know, you forget, I would say forget to shoot up and realize, wait, I just had, you know, a granola bar and I forgot. So like things like that happens, I feel like, more than they should, but the best I can. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. We can only do the best we can. We can always, you know, that just literally happened to me the other day. Like I'm doing all this stuff, like on a call, get off a call. And then like, I'm trying to eat. I took insulin cause I knew I was going to eat. And then like, oh shoot, I forgot to eat. I'm like, now you're dropping, you're getting ready to go low. You gotta react to that. So yeah, this diabetes is a complex condition that just people don't really understand how complex it really is.
Yes, you can sympathize with all of us type ones at the gym. You can always find a diabetic because they are walking around with a bag of candy as they work out. So
yeah. I always say with the complexities of it, it's like, you know, that's why I constantly preach about, you know, it, our number one goal, our only job is to figure out what works for us, because that looks different for everyone.
Yeah.
And I learned that really fast when I started really coaching diabetics, because I knew a lot of diabetics, but until I got down into the nitty gritty of like, okay, this individual is different than the person I just had a call with. This individual is different than this person I just trained. I learned that really fast. And that's been like the overlining thing that has really, for me, just made this also passionate about talking about it, bring amazing individuals like yourself on and just like coaching people on it. It's the passion of what we do just is so interesting to me on what drives everyone to do what they do. And especially with diabetes, like what drives a person to want to take care of themselves, because at the end of the day, you don't have to.
Yep. That is true. The complications are what drive me, because that kind of scares me. It is to the point, like you said, my sister and I are both from the same family genes. But when I get nervous, my blood sugar drops like a rock. My sister, her blood sugar goes through the roof. So like we can both eat the same slice of pizza, but like how many carbs that she needs to put in versus me is so dramatically different. Like we're both, you know, that's kind of weird when it's the comparison of the family member with you versus like a friend. Like, okay, I understand maybe how that could be different, but even within the same family, it's completely different.
Well, I'm curious also because you're talking about something I think that will align with a lot of people, and that's having another diabetic in the family that's not mom and dad, right? That's a sibling. How was that relationship growing up? Did you guys like help each other? Did you guys compete with each other? Like, how was that relationship growing up?
My sister and I are like completely different people. So, we probably aren't the best example. My sister is the smartest person on the planet. So I think anything I did was probably always the opposite and wrong. But, so I think for us, we had each other to bounce things off of. You saw somebody else go and what it looked like, you know, had the struggles of, you know, friends finding out, or, you know, people you didn't want to know back then having it, which was silly, which looking back, but, I never went to like, finally, my mom convinced me to go to like a camp for diabetes, like for kids.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And I was like, why do I need to do that? Like, I have my sister, like, I already know somebody. So, finally, you know, she twisted my arm enough and I went, and it was like the best experience ever. So, I mean, it was like, you know, it was a ton of kids there that all were just like me. So, that was really eye opening to kind of have that experience. But, yeah, my sister and I check in on each other now because, you know, she's been diabetic even, you know, 5 or 6 years longer than I have. but we're both doing good and no complications. So just kind of trying to plug away. But every time I go to the doctor, I feel like it's my, you know, my test grade. Like, what am I going to get? Like, what am I going to, what's the A1C? Just tell me.
Are you, do you try to track or do you follow or look at any other metric besides hemoglobin A1C?
I usually use time in range. I'm on a tandem pump, so I try to really focus on that. Because before I was much more of a roller coaster diabetic, and I'm now trying to kind of learn to let go and be a little bit more patient to stay like the slower coming out of my eye, which still to this day one drives me nuts. But yeah, time and range, I definitely look at, and I try really hard. I mean, I don't eat a lot of carbs just because sometimes I feel like it's not worth the pain and effort. Like growing up, my mom really never made rice or pasta for us just because there was so much of a carb count to it. So I really don't miss those types of foods. But I was diagnosed with celiac, so now I have a big long list of foods that I miss. But that was, I guess, probably another autoimmune that came into game as I, you know, got older.
Yeah, the research that's being done out right now is really interesting, as they're saying that when you are diagnosed with diabetes, you are at a higher risk, a dramatically higher risk to potentially get two other autoimmune diseases in the course of your life.
Yeah.
And celiac is one that happens a lot. Thyroid is one that sometimes happens a lot. So it's one of those really interesting things to think about. And when I think about people that are, I always ask that question about, like, you know, what are the metrics that you look at? Because they should, you know, they should be different for every person based off of your values and what you're looking for and how you live your life. I think that's a really important piece to think about, because those metrics allow us to not just be hyper-focused on that one number. And that one number for a lot of people, just, they make them so crazy. And their whole entire diabetes identity is based off of that number. And that's the wrong message, I believe, that we're sending to our community, that this number is like defining if you're really good at diabetes, not good at diabetes, need to improve, you don't need to improve, you're good. No, like that's not what we should be communicating and talking about.
Yeah, there's definitely, I think the time and range has been a good refocus for me.
That's perfect.
Yeah. And to really kind of focus on keeping in that range and, you know, making sure that I am a bad person about remembering to bolus before I eat. So that for me makes my life a lot easier. Just don't eat a lot of carbs because I feel like I'm just running around with my head cut off half the time, and it just makes life a lot easier. I know like my sister, she eats chicken and waffles. I would never even think of eating it just because eggs would be a lot easier. So she and I, you know, she can do it so much better than I can.
Yeah. That's interesting. And I sympathize with you, because as an entrepreneur as well, trying to go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, you sometimes don't have the ability to have a really good pre-bolus. You sometimes don't have the ability to be like, okay, this is the plan. I'm going to take my insulin. I'm going to wait this long. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to eat it slowly, like we're supposed to, like, so you have good digestion. And like, sometimes that just doesn't work. So it's like, I think it's a really cool and interesting thing that you have figured out this process of low carbs. And that's how you make diabetes work for you. Because people always ask me this, like, you know, should I eat low carb or should I not eat low carb? I always say is you should eat how your life is going to allow you to eat and what you want to eat. Because that statement right there is way more powerful than me trying to say, like, oh, well, yep, low carb is the best option, or the ketogenic diet's the best option, or intermittent fasting is the best option, or like low calories and low carbs are the best option. No, it's what's going to be best for that, for you as the individual.
Yeah, definitely. Cause I think, I mean, now with technology, I mean, you really can do whatever you want. It may take, you know, a little different planning from one person to the next, but there are no limitations on what we should or should not eat. As long as you're doing the right, you know, dosing and everything for what you're eating. You know, and then exercise and emotions come into play and throw everything, or, you know, another loop. So it's always a fun day.
Yeah. So that the emotion piece is another thing I'd love to ask you as a diabetic, because you talked earlier, like sometimes your blood sugar drops.
Yes.
When you're in the craziness of your day, being, you know, the head honcho of this company and like going from meeting to meeting and doing all these things and like juggling all these hats, does your blood sugar in those moments typically always fall, or do you get kind of both where they'll fall or they'll rise?
So during the midday of work, I'm pretty good to stay in range. Like if I forget to eat, I'm good. Like I don't have to, like my blood sugar's not dropping. But the minute I wake up and my alarm goes off, and I think it's like literally I had to sit up in bed, my brain kicks on and my blood sugar probably shoots up 75 points. So from bed to shower, blood sugar shooting through the roof.
Yeah, I constantly, when I am super stressed out, like I'll feel super anxious and I'll go either way. It's the craziest thing. And it's the same thing with exercise. Like I've talked about this numerous times on the show. Like I could do the same exact strength workout or the same exact high endurance, high conditioning workout, and go low. And then 3 days later, I could do the same exact thing, same intensity, same everything, and go high.
Yeah.
So it's just
frustrating.
It's frustrating. It is frustrating. But I think the thing that we have to recognize is looking at your trends, not just your numbers, but the trends of the things that happen in your daily life, right? You know, so for like someone like you who is like, you know, have this crazy schedule and you know these different things could potentially happen, now you can plan for those things and you can be ready for those things if they happen.
Yeah, it's interesting with the gym workout you said. I found that if I go to the gym and my blood sugar is in range 110 to 125, I have to eat one English muffin. This is before I was celiac, but one English muffin would raise my blood sugar to 220. If I got to the gym, when I got at 220, I could do all my like an hour long workout and walk out right around 80, my blood sugar. If my blood sugar was 235, 240, 250, and I did the exact same workout, my blood sugar went the other way. Mm-hmm. So I figured out my number. Like I cannot work out if my blood sugar is over 230, because where you're thinking it's just going to drop, it does the exact opposite for me if I'm above. So like I had to map that out, because I was like, why in the world? Like it gets, you know, I just did the same thing yesterday, you know, and now I'm going up instead of down.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
Interesting. Was there a certain reason why you felt like the English muffin was that like right thing to eat at that moment?
I think it was just a consistent carb count. So it probably could have been anything, gotcha. But as long as it was like a standard breakfast I could eat before going to the gym. But just knowing the number, sometimes I wait too long and I'm like, oh, my blood sugar's 245. And like, yeah, it's not even worth working out. Like it's going to go the other way right now. So, it gave me a number to work, you know, plan against.
And was it you said that it was like the same exact workout. You could do the same exact workout and have two different results.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's crazy.
It is crazy.
And
changes every day. It feels like, doesn't it?
But that's why it's a complex thing. And that's why we can, as diabetics, the only thing that we can do is try to figure out what the trends are so we can react and plan to those trends as they start occurring and happening. Because I truly believe, and again, every person is different, but I truly believe that we have 2 to 3, maybe 5 on the max, regular trends that happen on a daily basis. Some people only have 1. Some people have 3. Some people have 5. I mean, I've talked to multiple people that it's like been across that, it's been across that spectrum. And for me, that understanding that I have basically of the 40 some decisions that we could potentially make every single day, everyone talks about that. You got like all these decisions that you could potentially make every day, or we have to make every day. If you only have of those 40 some things that you have to potentially make a decision about, if you really only have to think about 3 or 5 of them, that makes it way different to comprehend and figure out than trying to be so crazed that you have to make 40 some decisions every day.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it, because you're right. I know 3 trends that I have every day. So, yeah.
And I think the other interesting thing, and I've talked about this before, is this thought process of having two different routines in your life, right? Because the routine Monday through Friday is typically different for most people on Saturday and Sunday, right? So you got your normal work week routine, and then you got your like your family routine or whatever you're doing on the weekend on a typical basis. Like I know for me, like my insulin needs increase on the weekends because I'm eating differently than I am during the week.
Yes, you get to go out and do some more fun things rather than being at work eating the same lunch you bring, right?
Yeah, for sure. Cool. So as we start getting to the end here, I would love to hear from you on two different spectrums, 1 to 3 things that you feel like either you've put into place in your management style, or things that you think that 1 to 3 things that you think that can potentially help someone now that they could take action in. What would be one of those 1 to 3 of those things? And I would love to hear that from the diabetes perspective, from yourself, or even other things that you've heard from other people. I would also love to hear what are like the 1 to 3 top things that you love about the bags that can really help people.
Okay, let's see. I got to rattle 6 things off, right?
You're special today. Usually people only have to rattle 3. You got to do 6 today.
Part B. Okay, so part one is on myself. So for me, it's being prepared for everything. I always have a bag or a vial of insulin just in case my pump gets ripped out. I don't always carry a whole pump set change, but I do have an emergency backup plan. So for me, that's important. 2 is paying attention to, like you said, the trends, and trying to work your best ability. Even though I've identified my trends, sometimes there's still, you know, a battle that, I'm constantly fighting with my morning highs, during the work week. But, you know, it's important to identify what the main goal is and keep working forward. And 3 is probably not to get down on yourself and beat yourself up, because it's a long game. It's your life. It's a long day or a long, long time. So, you know, your one bad blood sugar, you're going to get by it. We're going to move on. Don't beat yourself up and, you know, want to keep hashing on it, because life throws a lot of curveballs and you can't be prepared for everything as much as I personally want to be. But, you know, that's probably one of just to not beat yourself up and keep moving forward.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, because it's that not beating yourself up is a really important thing, because so many people do that in the craziest ways. And usually, when I hear that, I'm like, okay, yeah, if something happens, you're beating yourself up about it. I mean, that has this kind of, you know, tendency to it. But the way people beat themselves up and the words and the stories they tell themselves is crazy, because we're all different. Yeah. We all have different perspectives in life. And man, it is crazy. I just talked to an individual this morning, and the stories that this person was telling me wasn't in alignment with what the actual situation was. So it's like this thing of you tell yourself this story that's not even rooted in any type of reality whatsoever. It's the same thing with diabetes. We tell ourselves these stories when we have the answer. You know you have the answer.
Yeah.
Just think about everything that, you know, you do every single day. How did you overcome this last time? Even if you've only done it once, you still overcame it. And I think that's super powerful, because I don't think people really realize how powerful and self-detrimental the stories that we tell ourselves are.
It's a definitely provide, gives a negative impact. And sometimes if I have I did something so silly, and I mean, gosh, I've been diabetic 30 some years. I was sick for a couple of days. My blood sugars were running high, and I called the doctor. I can't get under 300, no matter how much insulin I'm taking. I was taking a syringe and shooting up insulin. That didn't help. So the doctor's let's get you into the hospital just to make sure you're not going into DKA. you know what it was? It was my pump site was kinked, and smarty didn't even think to check that. So I'm like, oh my God, I've been doing this for how long? And I still made the silly, silly, silly error.
Yeah.
So my husband was, you know, anything, it was like, okay, what did we learn here? Maybe we should write this down somewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can beat yourself up more, but that was a bad one. But, you know, it doesn't, you just need to keep, unfortunately, moving forward and put that in the back of your mind, yeah, brain. And
but I think, it made it better. Yeah, but I'm so glad that you brought that up, because you're not the only one that's ever dealt with that. I've dealt with that before, right? And for me, like I coach people and I talk to people about building a checklist. If you have sticky blood sugars, build a checklist on what things that you think that it could be, right? It could be the site. It could be the fact that your insulin pump is kinked. I mean, yeah, it could be so many different things. And then for me, there you go. We got
a beep.
There, see? And I think that, like, for me, like, I have an entire 5-step checklist that ends with, okay, you have to change this. And that has helped me dramatically not get stuck on that roller coaster of emotion and frustration of like, why is this not working? Why is this not working? Because I'm going through that checklist.
Yes. Very smart. Okay, now you want the three.
Let's talk about the company. I think this is a sweet company. I love this. And when I first looked at this, because we've seen other companies like this, but I think that your bags are just so unique in the different styles and different types that people could use. And like, yeah, I want to buy one. I'm gonna buy one.
You might have a friend that can help you out. But yes, the company, I think for us, you know, in the beginning was really trying to make it not feel medical, give yourself a little personality, but also, you know, price sensitive that, you know, we know diabetes is expensive. So we're not wanting to try to, you know, design multi-million dollar bags or anything for people to buy that are excessive. So being price sensitive and creating unique designs that make people feel comfortable about carrying their supplies is important for us. And you know, knowing that there's diabetics that really come in and help test it and give ideas, and we take that feedback and we go to the focus groups and things like that. So we are testing them. And just for us, the end result is we really just hope that this brings a more organization and more like a sigh of relief that you can have everything in one place and know that you're walking out the door, you have everything you need, or you're planning that trip and you can quickly glance and say, okay, I have everything for the next 7 days, and provide a way to stay a little bit more organized and keep on top of your diabetes in a way that, you know, throwing into a, you know, duffel or cinch sack or a Ziploc bag doesn't always, provide.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. This is awesome. This is awesome. Everybody, I hope that we're 46 minutes into this. I hope that you're still listening. And if you are, as soon as you are done listening to this episode, you must go on their website. Don't worry, the show notes are or the link is in the show notes. And just do me a favor and look at the bags, because they're self-explanatory. They're amazing. Like what Caroline has done with these bags is just, it's amazing. So go look at the bags. And then if you buy one, awesome. Awesome if you buy one. Good job for you.
Stay organized.
You're now organized. Way more than I'm sure you are now. So awesome. Caroline, this was amazing. Thank you so much for doing this. It was a pleasure connecting, a pleasure meeting you. I'm so glad we got to talk about your diabetes journey and your amazing company. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, great. I enjoyed being on here. Can I offer a coupon code to your listeners?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, if you want to use sugar 5 on our website, so the word sugar and the number 5, that will give you $5 off any order.
Awesome. See, now you have even a bigger reason to go on their website and make a purchase, because now you get to get $5 off. That's awesome. Sugar 5, everybody. in the checkout, just put sugar 5 and they'll know that you're from the podcast and you will get $5 off. That's amazing. Thank you for giving that to the audience.
No problem. Well, hopefully, yeah, if we could shed some light and hopefully inspire somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Well, thank you everybody for continuing to listen every single week. Thank you, Caroline, again for coming on the show. We will be up next week with another great episode. Until then, I will see you next time.